Welcome back to the Growers Report podcast. It is May 19th, 2014. Along with my tag team partner, Frank D., I am Steve Growick, the webmaster of www.gerwewck.net. Growick.net, your source for all your pro wrestling news, information, rumors, TV recaps, pay-per-view recaps, polls, Hall of Fame, all at Growick.net since 1997. Definitely check it out. Once again, gerwewck.net. And today, as always, we've got a number of different topics to discuss. And first, though, let's see what Frank D's up to. How are you doing today, Frank D?
Doing great. See you about yourself, man.
I'm doing great. And, you know, this is working out real well, Frank, I think, doing kind of the weekly podcast because, you know, 1 week we have a lot of different things transpire. And, of course, this week we saw a lot of different issues to discuss. But I guess we'll start with Daniel Bryan. Looks to be a tragic end to his title run. Of course, won the title at WrestleMania. Had neck surgery on Thursday, so it appears he's going to be out for several months. They're hoping maybe he'll be back for SummerSlam. I would think that'd be kind of a wishful thinking. You know, when you do neck surgery, you got to take it as cautiously as you can. So it appears, as of tonight with Monday Night Raw, likely Daniel Bryan will be stripped of the WWE Championship.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's a championship reign, in my opinion, that the WWE didn't even want the guy to have in the first place. It's just one of those things that happened because the fans voiced their opinion, and they actually got the WWE upper brass to change their mind about the original plan, and I believe the original plan was to put the belt on Batista. So I think tonight they're probably going to end up stripping him of the championship. Very unfortunate. The guys had a lot of personal setbacks with, you know, personal things that have gone down, and it's just, you know, it really sucks.
Now, we're taping this Monday morning before Raw. What would you expect them to decide? Do you think they'll do a tournament, or how do you think they'll determine a new champion?
You know, I've been kind of thinking about that since last week, as a matter of fact, and I would think they would probably go along the lines of maybe a tournament for the belts that would culminate at Payback. And if they were to do that, it kind of messes up all the plans they had, because right now, you know, your top three guys are in a feud right now with The Shield. I'm talking about Triple H, you know, Randy Orton, and Batista. So if you were going to put the belt on Batista, now would be the time to do it, but then Batista's leaving to go promote his movie.
I think you brought up the wild card, Frank, because we've talked about Batista having issues with WWE, not getting what he wanted or what he was promised.
Yeah.
Now with Daniel Bryan hurt, maybe things go back to his way of thinking, and maybe he ends up being the champion after everything is said and done.
Yeah, I mean, that could very well happen, but the people really are not into Batista right now for it to happen. You know, the one thing about being the champion is you have to be over with the crowd. And Batista's not over with the crowd in the sense that, you know, they want to see this guy. Batista's getting the go-away heat right now. And if a guy is out there getting go-away heat, that's not a guy I want to put my Raw Championship on. So I don't know who else would be the guy that they would put it on at this point. I mean, the roster is so thin. I mean, and they're so far in between the mid-carders and the upper mid-carders. So the upper echelon is really up there. And, I mean, knowing them, though, they'll probably go with Cena.
Well, this is kind of a transitional period of time anyways when you have the B pay-per-views before SummerSlam. We talked about that in the last podcast. We have, what, Payback. We have Battleground coming up. We have Money in the Bank. And that's before Night of Champions. So the next big one will be SummerSlam in August. And at this point, who do you put the title back on, or who should win it at this point? They were kind of, I guess in a certain way, kind of given a little bit of a rub to Sheamus as a possible candidate for his championship, Daniel Bryan's championship. Maybe that's still a possibility, but it would seem logical to go back to John Cena at this point as at least a transitional champion to the next champion, whoever that might be. But again, as Frank said, the roster is so thin. I mean, there's nobody really groomed to be the next big star. I mean, Daniel Bryan is the guy who's been chasing the championship. As you said, the three big stars they have with the Evolution is in a program right now with the Shield. I don't know, Frank. Maybe at some point you can break away the Shield. We talked about this before. Roman Reigns seems to be groomed for a title push. But I don't know. It might be too soon to push him with a championship right now.
No, I wouldn't give him a belt right now at all because Roman Reigns hasn't even held a singles championship yet. So I would not, definitely wouldn't push him to the World Heavyweight Championship. That'd be kind of like a slap in the face to, you know, anybody who's come to, you know, before him as a champion who's actually held a singles title. And Reigns hasn't held that. Reigns was a tag champion with Seth Rollins, but that's pretty much the only gold that he's had. You know, you could go, like I said, you could go the Cena route. You could go in a shot, you know, situation. You could go a Wade Barrett. And you can also go with a Triple H. I mean, it's been a long time since Hunter has held the belt. So I can see him probably winning the World Heavyweight Championship and defending it against Roman Reigns at SummerSlam. I mean, you know, the rumor is that he's supposed to wrestle him at SummerSlam. It could be a championship match, but who knows? I don't know. We don't know anything until tonight's Monday Night Raw to see if they actually do strip Daniel Bryan of the championships, but I believe they will.
Yeah, I don't see any other scenario they could come up with. They can't keep the title on the sideline for that many shows, that many pay-per-views. I mean, obviously you want your WWE championship defended on pay-per-view, so I would think they would have to strip him of the championship, which is unfortunate, but as you were saying, I think he was losing a little bit of the luster after you win the championship. You know, it only can really go down after you win the championship. You strive to get that championship, you kind of go up the hill, and once you're there, you know, you're only going to lose a little momentum, and especially with him and his wife out there, Frank, I'm not sure his direction of his character was what you wanted for your champion.
No. And to be honest with you, that bad segment that they did a few weeks ago on Raw, that horror movie, you know, Michael Myers, Halloween wannabe segment they did on Raw, how many people did they turn away with that segment? How many people wanted to see Daniel Bryan just lose the WWE Championship? It all could come at the hands of Brie Bella, her bad act. Just say, you know what, we don't take this guy seriously anymore as a contender, as a champion. He sucks. This whole yes thing sucks. And I honestly think, you know, that he's probably going through right now the DDP syndrome. And what I mean by that is when Diamond Dallas Page won the belt in WCW, I mean, DDP was a self-proclaimed people's champion for a couple of years there. He was very over. And he was very over until he got the belt. And when he got the belt, the people started turning on him. I think that people still chant yes, Steve, but I don't think they're chanting as loud as they were.
I agree, and I don't think programming him with Kane was the direction to go,
no.
Especially with the way Kane has... his character has evolved and devolved, I guess you would say, and I just didn't think they were going in the right direction with Daniel Bryan. I didn't want to see him be stripped of the championship, don't get me wrong, and it's unfortunate that Bryan suffers the injury now and is forced to have the surgery, and, you know, I wish him a speedy recovery, and we would definitely need him back, but this was not the best run, I think, for Daniel Bryan, and again, you always say, once you get the championship, usually you can only go down, and that's kind of where he was going in this phase. And they didn't really seem to have the opponents in place for him to have. I mean, part of having a good title run is having good opponents to work with. And right now you start with Kane, and it looked like for the next pay-per-view they were going to do the Kane rematch,
Yeah. Which
made no sense to me, but it shows you they just don't have the roster depth they really need to really get a new champion over at this point. So... again, we'll find out on Monday Night Raw exactly the new direction they go. Likely, as Frank would say, you probably would think a tournament style to set up maybe the final two guys facing off at the next pay-per-view, and that seems to be a likely plausible way to determine the new champion. Now, Frank, we've been hearing some names already, and it's very, very early, very premature. 2015 is a long, long ways away, but WrestleMania next year out in your area in California is in March of next year. We're already starting hearing some, I think, really trial balloon names for the Hall of Fame. We're hearing The Rock's name being mentioned. We're hearing Kevin Nash's name is being mentioned. And a couple of the wild cards here would be Mickie James and Rikishi. Frank, when you started hearing some of these names, what came to mind as far as the Hall of Fame class of 2015?
First thing that came to my mind is, what the hell are they thinking, even contemplating putting Mickie James into the Hall of Fame? What has Mickie James done to deserve to be in the Hall of Fame? Yeah, she was in a match with Trish Stratus. She, you know, did the whole lesbian kiss with Trish Stratus. She was a former women's champion when the roster, you know, was depleted and the women's division sucked. What has she done to really be in the Hall of Fame? And the thing about it is, I love Rikishi, but same thing we said about Rikishi. What has Rikishi done to be in the Hall of Fame? Yes, the Samoan SWAT team, I get it, head shrinkers, I get it. He had a nice little run there in the WWE in the 2000s, but Hall of Fame, I don't think so. But you know what? We kind of lowered the bar for the Hall of Fame ever since you let people in there like Coco Beware, Abdullah the Butcher, Carlos Colon. You know, you kind of lowered your bar a little bit there as far as, you know, what it takes to be in the Hall of Fame. So, you know, I don't know. I don't agree with you know what they're saying right now. I do agree with The Rock and Kevin Nash. Absolutely. Those, I mean, Kevin Nash, you know, speaks for himself. Diesel, you know, Oz, Vinny Vegas, you know, himself, WCW, NWO. I mean, The Rock. Rock is a worldwide movie star. Why would you not want him in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I think when I saw some of these names, I think they're doing just the trial balloon. Just get the WWE Universe's reaction, and I agree with Frank for the most part. I would agree The Rock should be in, no brainer. Kevin Nash should be in, really, for the NWO that he did. Really got a lot of eyeballs back on professional wrestling in 96 there, 97. Mickie James is a good female wrestler, and maybe the argument would be she's a TNA women's champion and a WWE women's champion. But again, I agree with Frank. She was the champion when the roster for the women's division was a lot depleted. This was, you know, after Trish and Lita really lit it up. And as far as Rikishi, I always liked Rikishi. You know, he was a good comedy act. I loved his dance with Too Cool out there. But boy, when I think Hall of Fame, and I guess maybe I think of Rikishi when he did the angle with Steve Austin and running him over.
Yeah, that was bad.
I mean, he did that one spot on the Hell in the Cell where he fell off the Hell in the Cell.
Right, and that's not going to get you there. Listen, I mean, that's not Hall of Fame worthy stuff.
No, it's not.
All you had was this. All you saw, seriously, this is all you saw. You saw this big Samoan with a big ass wearing a thong fall backwards into a truck.
And doing the stink face.
That's not Hall of Fame, you know, material.
And then, of course, you know, when I saw these names, Frank, we always goes back to the argument we always make about the Hall of Fame, and it's not a legitimate Hall of Fame until you get the guys who should be in the Hall of Fame. Now, they started with Bruno, but again, where is Randy Savage? Where is Owen Hart? Where is Ravishing Rick Rude? Where is the British Bulldog? So you're telling me these guys belong in the Hall of Fame over Randy Savage? You're telling me these guys belong over Rick Rude? I mean, you're telling me that Coco Beware belongs in the Hall of Fame before Rick Rude, or Carlos Colon belongs in the Hall of Fame before the British Bulldog? I mean, what a joke. This is why WWE's Hall of Fame loses a lot of credibility, because there's no selection committee. It's just Vince decides. He sits down and says, who do I want in my Hall of Fame? And he can do it. It's his Hall of Fame. Don't get me wrong. He owns the company. He can do whatever he wants, right? But when you're talking credibility, I mean, Frank, how can you have any of these guys really over Randy Savage? I mean, give me a break. There's no one comparing these guys to Randy Savage.
No, there isn't. And I don't know. I mean, we've sat on this podcast before and kind of speculated as to why Savage isn't in the Hall of Fame yet. And to tell you honestly, I have no idea why that is. I know he belongs there. But I don't know what the deal is. I don't know the circumstances of why he's not there.
So, and then Owen Hart.
Well, that's an obvious.
British Bulldog.
I understand. I don't understand why he's not there. I don't understand why Rick Rude isn't in there. But going back to Rikishi real quick. I mean, people say, Rikishi go in or shouldn't Rikishi go in? It's kind of like this. Are you gonna put in, since we can put in guys like Rikishi, we can put in guys like Coco Beware, are we gonna induct the Giant Gonzalez into the Hall of Fame next? No, I mean, guy rest his soul, but he didn't have a Hall of Fame career.
No,
he was a gimmick.
It seems like if you have one or two good runs in wrestling, suddenly you're a Hall of Famer. Frank, in baseball, football, you can argue categories. You can say they won titles, they won Cy Youngs, they won MVPs and Golden Gloves. You don't have that in wrestling. Unfortunately, with the WWE Hall of Fame, it's very political. And that's why I really created my Hall of Fame, because I let the fans decide. I made my initial inductions, who belongs in, the no-brainers, the Ric Flairs, the Hulk Hogans, the Road Warriors, the Bobby the Brain Heenan, and Bret Hart. No-brainers. They should be in any Hall of Fame. Then I let the fans decide who should be in the Hall of Fame. And, we can argue certain names, but I think for the most part, the people in my Hall of Fame belong in the Hall of Fame. And now, WWE Hall of Fame without Randy Savage, one of the best champions they've ever had. Still not giving the accolades to Owen Hart. I mean, we just had 12 years since the British Bulldog has passed. What has taken so long to get the British Bulldog or the British Bulldogs as a tag team in the Hall of Fame? Ravishing Rick Rude, one of the greatest heels of all time in the wrestling business. And I know people have always, some people will say, well, WWE, they're put in the Hall of Fame. Who should be in the Hall of Fame? And I'm thinking, really? Okay, you got obvious people like. Ric Flair, Roddy Piper, Hulk Hogan, they're in the Hall of Fame, right? That's fine. But my goodness, you're still losing a lot of, no-brainers. I mean, Randy Savage is legitimate one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. I mean, not just our generation, one of the best wrestlers of all time, any generation.
Yeah.
And then you got Owen and the Bulldog and Rude, and for different various reasons, they're not in. And now you're starting the 2015 class should start with Randy Savage and then work down. But again, Randy Savage is not even mentioned, Frank. So it's going to be probably a while before we even see him mentioned. I mean, we thought maybe after he passed away, maybe. But now in death, no respect at all. He really is the Rodney Dangerfield of wrestling right now.
I amen to that. I totally have to agree with that, too.
That's really too bad.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on here. Let's talk about a poll we just ran, Frank. And I thought this was kind of interesting because I expected the opposite result to happen here. Should WWE unify the IC and United States Championships? I think, both titles have long lost the luster they once had. We talked about this before at one time. The IC Championship was the precursor to the world title. It really was a true number one contender.
Right.
A great lineage with the U.S. Championship, with WCW, a lot of great wrestlers have held the WCW U.S. Championship. So my thought would be, yeah, let's unify them and at least get rid of one of the secondary championships. But 55% said no, they do not want the titles unified. What's Frank D's thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts on it is that people still are holding on to this belief that the U.S. Championship in 2014 means something. It doesn't. It didn't mean anything in the last few years of his existence in the WCW, so it doesn't mean anything now. And I think that's what the problem is. I mean, people just don't want to let go of the last, besides Big Gold, the last remaining, lineage to the WCW brand. And I think that's what it is. I think that's the reason why people, voted the way they did. Because they want to hold on to that memory. If they went tomorrow and unified both these championship belts, you already know for a fact you're not going to ever see that U.S. title ever again. Because WWE has done this before already. They actually unified these two belts. And the IC championship belt, was the belt that said it was a dominant championship. But, people need to realize something. If the belt was taken seriously, if it was actually, meant something, then the belt would... it would symbolize a lot more than what it does right now. And I think my point is that if it was a number two championship belt, say the SmackDown brand, say we had a brand extension right now, like I brought up before in the podcast, where the Intercontinental Championship belt was the second to the WWE Championship, and you had the Raw title on SmackDown, which is second to, U.S. title, second to the world championship. It would mean a lot more, and there would be no toss of unifying the belts. The reason why we're talking about unifying championship belts right now, Steve, is because they don't mean anything. It's useless to have them out there. I mean, Dean Ambrose had the championship belt, set a whole new record, but he wrestled nobody. I mean, we're talking about all the time about the Shield and how the Shield has all these great matches. Name me one U.S. championship defense that you can remember with Dean Ambrose as champion.
That's sad. That really is sad. The guy had the championship for the year and didn't mean anything.
Exactly.
That's unfortunate. That's really unfortunate.
Yeah.
And you're right. They've basically have done a unification with these two championships, and now they're still in existence. So I think maybe the reason people voted no is just because they unify the championship doesn't mean they won't be returned at some point. They won't resurface. Like you were saying with the world championship and the champion holding both championship belts out there, rather than putting one aside, the champion still has two championship belts, which would indicate probably at some point they'll split them up again. So what's the point of unifying the titles if at some point one of the defunct titles will come back into an existence?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, they've done this already. They did this in 2001 at Survivor Series, where they unified the WCW and WWE Tag Team Championship belts tonight with the Dudley Boys versus Hardy Boys and Steel Cage match. They had Edge versus Test, in which Edge beat Test to unify the U.S. Championship and Intercontinental Championship. I believe they had a match where they unified they took the European and Hardcore belts and unified them or something like that years ago. I might be wrong about that one though, but it sounds familiar. It's something they did in the early stages of the brand extension. But, the belts just don't mean anything now. They don't. They're useless props, as they like to be called.
The old Hardcore belt where you could be a 24-time champion within a night.
Right.
Isn't that something?
That's those days. Those were very, very, very entertaining videos with Crash Holly as champion.
You sneak up behind somebody and knock them out and pin them, and suddenly you're the champion. And then you go down the hallway, and then somebody knocks you out, and they're the champion.
Yeah. I know so it is.
One of those gimmicks that actually worked back in the day. Yeah. Well, you know what, Frank? We found out, and like, what a shocker, right, that Vince McMahon is still the power broker in WWE, that while Triple H is maybe gaining more influence and more power, at the end of the day, guess who makes the final call? And Vince McMahon, and let's face it, Frank, Vince is going to run WWE until they put him in the ground.
Well, if anybody actually thought that McMahon just all of a sudden overnight relinquished the reins to Triple H and Stephanie, what are you smoking? Not at all. Vince isn't going to relinquish the reins of that company until the guy is on his deathbed. And that's the bottom line. When you've been running a company as long as he has, you're set in your ways. It's very hard to change that dynamic right there. And I think with Triple H, at the end of the day, I mean, yeah, he has his corporate position that he holds, but at the end of the day, Triple H is one of the wrestlers, so he feels how they feel. And I mean, I think Shane McMahon said it best. Shane McMahon said, the reason why he left the company is because there was no succession, because the old man wouldn't go home. So there is no succession there. But I think that when Triple H eventually does take over, you'll start to see a lot of difference in the TV product. Because right now it's just like, it's the same old, every other Monday.
You know, I would personally rather see Shane McMahon run the company. I kind of wish he was still around. Of course, right now, nothing's really going to change until, like you said, Vince McMahon is on his deathbed. But I would have liked to have seen Shane kind of get the reins, because I think he was more of a big wrestling fan. The problem with transitioning to Triple H is that Stephanie is still going to be the power broker there. And Stephanie has been with Vince McMahon a long time, and I think she's learning a lot from Vince. And I don't really anticipate a lot of things changing once Vince is gone. I kind of think the status quo will be in place. I don't see them breaking away from what they're currently doing. They like these generic characters. They like everybody to work a WWE ring style. And, you know, really to me, Frank, until those things change, until they're willing to take more of a gamble on characters and really develop, you know, wrestling characters and let people work different styles, it's going to be the same kind of generic, boring wrestling we're getting right now.
It's hard to explain, man. It's really just times change, you know what I'm saying? And when you have a situation where one thing has been going on for so many years and they know the business, they're going to keep doing that business that way, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So there is no change. They say evolution. There is no evolution. It's going to be the same old, same old. And that's how it forever will be that way.
Yeah, the business model is working in their eyes. You know, they have the new streams. You know, you can buy your John Cena action figure for your 5-year-old kid. You can have, you know, the parties. You know, they're reaching more audience with the PG version. And I just don't. I think you have a little more. You're a little more optimistic than I am that things will change. You know, when Triple H has kind of been charged.
I kind of believe they will, because I know from interviews what I've read about Triple H, and the guy is just, you know, the guy was an NWA guy, you know what I mean? I mean, he grew up watching Ric Flair. Majority of Ric Flair's matches happened in the NWA, you know, WCW. So, I mean, if it were up to Triple H right now, I guarantee you we'd have War Games, Evolution versus The Shield. It's not up to him. It's up to Vince, and Vince doesn't probably want to do War Games because it wasn't his creation.
The problem, though, is you've been in that company for a long time, and the mindset has been this way for so long.
Right, right.
You start to subscribe to it because you say, hey, okay, I'd like to have War Games, but you know what? What we're doing is working. Maybe it's not generating viewership to the way we'd like it to be, but at the end of the day, you know, we're making money, we're successful,
we're making money.
We have all these revenues.
Yeah, but look at it like this though. We're making money, but we're not making as much money as we could be making if we push the envelope a little bit. So that's all. That's the problem with the whole. I mean, people say, well, the product is like this. The product is like it is because of PG and all. Okay, here's the deal. It doesn't matter about it being PG. You can have HD television and have it in the PG environment. It's just you got to be able to creatively pull it off. It has to be creatively satisfying as far as the writing goes. That's the problem. The writing sucks. It sucks for years. Just because...
Well, see, Frank, I don't think that will change. If Stephanie is in charge, do you think she's going to start hiring wrestling bookers instead of entertainment writers?
I think Triple H will.
Well, he might want to, but... It's Stephanie's going to be Stephanie's call.
I think Triple H has a husband. He's put his foot down.
Well, if they get divorced, Triple H is out.
Yeah, and you know what?
That's the thing.
That would suck.
At the end of the day, Stephanie McMahon is Stephanie McMahon. End of the day, Triple H gets divorced, he's out.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, I mean... I really think the power broker, once Vince is gone, is going to be Stephanie. And, you know, Triple H will have a high-ranking position within the company, which is great, but Vince's little girl is going to want to be running that company. I mean, she was part of the entertainment, or the creative side. She was like the head of creative, and she was working with all these entertainment writers. I think it's ingrained in her that that's what you do. You hire soap opera writers and B-movie creators, and that's the way to go. And
but they didn't have that. They didn't have that in the 80s. They didn't have that in the 90s. In the 90s, if I'm understanding correctly, in the 90s it was just Vince, Jim Cornette. It was, I believe, Pat Patterson. It might have been Bruce Pritchard and Jim Ross. That's all you
Vince
had.
Vince Russo for
and,
a time.
And Vince Russo. You had Vince Russo, yeah. And Ed Ferrara. That's all you had. And that was the most successful. Serious thing. If we're going to get to this very shortly, but I'm going to, you know, kind of bring it up right now. The deal with the television rights and all that. The WWE product right now is just not worth what it used to be in the eyes of anybody. they look at stupid storylines with Kane, and they're like, this isn't worth anything. You know, where is The Rock? Where is Stone Cold Steve Austin? Where did all these guys go? You know, I think that plays a huge deal. I think, you know, the fact that the product isn't as popular as it was in past years. They have no real superstars. I mean, John Cena is not on the level of Stone Cold Steve Austin or The Rock or Hulk Hogan or anybody like that. He's a face of this generation, a face of this era. And this era and generation sucks. This era has been crap.
Yeah, the product's been stale for a long time.
The product has been stale for over 10 years.
Yep. Since they gobbled up WCW, I mean, when have they been really creative since those days, really? I mean, once they won the wars, they won their competition.
Yeah.
I mean, they have been status quo for a long time now.
Yeah, and the bottom line is that they got like that because the pressure was off.
That's right. There has been no legitimate competition the last, 12 years now?
Right. I mean, pressure was off. The only competition that they had, they were trying to compete with themselves, was the brand extension. That's all they had. And they were trying to basically recreate the war between the two companies, you know, recreate the war they had with WCW with Raw and SmackDown. And it was a failed attempt because there was really no real hostility between the two groups. So nobody cared.
Maybe the greatest competition they've had over the last decade is UFC, and UFC's kicked their butt in pay-per-view.
Right. They've kicked their butt so much that it forced them to leave the pay-per-view market.
Right, they're going to the network.
It's kind of like WCW when WCW had Thunder on Thursday. SmackDown was beaten so bad it went back. It went to Wednesdays.
Absolutely. Well, you alluded to it before. Let's get into the television situation. As expected, I don't think anybody really expected Vince to leave NBC Universal. They have the number one network on cable with USA. They have assigned a new deal with NBC Universal. We'll keep Raw on Monday nights on USA and keep SmackDown on Friday nights on Sci-Fi. I guess the shocker was that, you know, we talked about it as the possibility of moving SmackDown to another night and going live, especially in this era, Frank, when you can go online and you can read the results of these shows. You can read weeks in advance of TNA Impact. I mean, Tuesday night, you know, you can go on the websites and you can check out the SmackDown results before Friday's show. The only real surprise to me, Frank, was that SmackDown is going to stay in the same format. I thought it was time to maybe update the show. As you said, you know, give it a new set, give it a new look, change nights, and finally go live.
Yeah, I mean, SmackDown has been stale for years. I mean, all WWE is stale, but SmackDown is what we said. SmackDown at one point used to be, you know, the show. It used to be the Rock show. It used to be a show where big things happened. You know, it was a continuation until next Monday. But SmackDown has seen better days. I mean, it's just, SmackDown right now is on live sports, on its last leg. SmackDown is so bad, I could sit and watch Thursday Thunder all day. That's how bad SmackDown is now. And it didn't used to be that way. SmackDown used to be a thing, a show with big things, like I said, would happen. And newsworthy stuff would happen. You would have, you know, championship matches on SmackDown. I mean, I remember back a couple of years ago, man, we were seeing, you know, Iron Man matches on SmackDown between Kurt Angle and Brock Lesnar. That's how stuff was going at one point. But now it's just, you know, SmackDown is kind of like SmackDown is just a show that's there. It's just, you know, I think it's just there for WWE to get money off of it. That's all it is.
Absolutely.
Just like Superstars is just there. Just like Main Event is just there. I mean, these shows are just garbage to watch.
Now, one thing in the deal I thought was interesting was, I guess the plan is to eventually start having replays of Raw and SmackDown show up on the WWE Network,
right.
And that's not been figured out as far as I know yet. They still want to, you know, be able to, you know, put it on their app, and you can watch Raw and SmackDown, the replays, and I think that'll eventually come. Of course, the network is going to want, I should say, the USA Network and the Sci-Fi Network is going to want exclusivity on that content initially, but eventually you're probably going to see Raw and SmackDown replays reruns of the first run shows show up on that platform, which is going to be That's probably part of WWE's network strategy right now, Frank, is, okay, Raw and SmackDown are not live on our show, on our networks, but, you know, maybe Tuesday, Wednesday, you can start seeing our shows on our network. So that might be another incentive to say, you know what, ditch your cable and just buy the WWE network, right?
Yeah, well, and that's a lot of people are complaining about that. A lot of people were under the impression, oh, if I get the network, I can watch Raw and SmackDown that I, you know, didn't get a chance to see. You can't. You can watch it, but it's, you know, 30 days after its original
something
airing.
Like that. Right.
So, yeah, I'm not going to go on there looking for the new Raws or SmackDowns. So, but I get the point.
Right. And I guess there was, it was not a good Friday for Vince McMahon. He lost his net worth because of the stock had dropped so significantly on Friday. He lost hundreds of millions of dollars, which would mean he's not a billionaire anymore. Not billionaire Ted, billionaire Vince. He lost his status as of Friday. We'll see if the stock rebounds. But I guess there was a lot of expectations that they would double their contract with the USA Network and Sci-Fi and NBC Universal. And I was telling Frank, you know, offline, I think the expectations were a little off, because remember when they went live, or I should say when they expanded to a 3-hour live show weekly, WWE was compensated for that extra hour.
Right.
So starting in July or whatever it was, they switched to 3 hours. WWE was earning more money for Raw than what their current contract was paying them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they went to 3 hours, and now suddenly they're generating more money on their existing contract. So I don't think – I think the expectations was way off that they would double their earnings. Because, I mean, Vince traded ratings for more money right away. I mean, there's no way WWE expected that when they go to 3 hours of Raw that the numbers would go up for the Raw rating. It was going to go down. I mean, whenever they would do a 3-hour special of Raw, the first number would be really bad and would pull the average down. I don't know. I don't see humanly possible they could have thought, okay, we're going to go to 3 hours of Raw. The number is going to go up because now it's 3 hours. And based on our current product, based on that we're on for 3 hours, our number is going to go up. Frank, I think Vince's gamble at that time was, okay, pay me more for the third hour. And for USA, it was probably well worth it to give them the extra money, because there's nothing on their USA Network is going to get. Let's say for the average hour of Raw, they get a 3.0. There's nothing that USA Network can put up for an average at 8 o'clock on Monday night is going to get a 3.0. So they say, hey, give Vince the extra money, and suddenly there's 3 hours of Raw. So I think the expectation was a little off, Frank, because WWE was compensated for that extra hour initially when they went to 3 hours. So I think the thoughts that they would get a doubling of their revenue, TV money, I think just was way off. I don't see how they could have expected the number would double.
Well, you know, well, here's the deal. the number wasn't going to double. No. I don't think anybody in their right mind thought the number was going to double. It wasn't. I mean, that's all fluff talk. You know what I'm saying? It's all in their heads. It's all make believe, and that's just how I look at it. It was. I mean, were you really honestly surprised the other day when the news came out and the fact that WWE wasn't really touting this situation? I mean, they have that tap company, right, where they, you know, got those videos. You can make a video on your
yep.
your smartphone. Well, I didn't see McMahon making a video. I didn't see I didn't see Triple H touting it out. I didn't see George Barracuda or Burials, whatever his name is. I didn't see him up there, you know, touting it.
Yeah, we're getting a few more details. It's less than 5 years is the deal. Huh. So it won't say exactly how many years. It's probably a 3-year deal. Things are going to stay pretty much as is. You know, Raw is going to be 3 hours. You know, SmackDown's going to be 2 hours on Friday nights. Stay on the same network, so nothing really changes here. I guess the investors were disappointed. That's why the stock went down, because I think the investors realize that they're putting a lot of money into the WWE Network, the startup costs, securing some of the rights to some of the TV shows, the development of shows. that the investors say, okay, you know, we're going to lose money on the WWE Network. Maybe we can recuperate some of the money through the TV rights, but it just wasn't going to happen, Frank. I don't know how anybody really expected them to double their numbers. I mean, SmackDown, look at SmackDown's numbers are down. How do you expect them? I mean, the product's not hot. How do you expect WWE to double their TV rights agreement when there's like no buzz for WWE right now? I mean, it's a solid product for NBC Universal. You know, it keeps their numbers high as far as their weekly average, but I just think the expectations are way off. I don't know how anybody really expects them to double their numbers. I think that was wishful thinking, if nothing else.
Well, yeah, it was wishful thinking. You know, and I think, I mean, if there was a buzz about the company, it was a couple months ago when they first launched the network, and that was it. There is no buzz, and there's nothing going on in WWE for it to even be a buzz. You know, we know as wrestling fans, you know, to turn to, you know, USA Network every Monday night. That's it. I mean, you talk about the ratings are down. Yeah, the ratings are down across the board, and not just WWE, it's for all wrestling, period. Whole genre. And you know, the fact that the number one leader in sports entertainment, and that's the thing right there. That's the thing that people don't kind of understand. I mean, WWE, you know, they were saying that they could get as much money as the NBA or NFL. But my question has been, when did WWE ever say that they were a sport?
Well, I didn't see NBC, ABC, CBS lining up to bid on WWE's contract.
I didn't see it either.
I mean, remember when SmackDown was created, they wanted to be on broadcast TV, and where were they? CW, UPN? What? I mean, I don't remember ABC knocking down their door or Fox. So the expectations just seem like they're way off right now. I mean, WWE, maybe people are just remembering the Attitude Era, but I mean, the product has just been so generic, bland, stale for so long now. Just the wrestling business in general
right.
is so bland right now.
But
I mean, we're kind of seeing a little bit of a buzz with Ring of Honor and some of the TNA losses is ROH's gain, as you would say from the last podcast. But it's been a long time, Frank, when Monday night. I mean, here's Monday. Today's Monday. We're doing this podcast on Monday. When was the last Monday you just said, man, I'm really looking forward to Raw tonight. I can't wait to see what's going to happen. For me, it's been a long, long time.
Yeah, it's been since about probably 2000. Is that something?
Yeah.
Because I don't really care about watching Raw. You know, Raw used to be a show that you couldn't miss. And, you know, now I can miss it.
Yep. I mean, you can miss 6 weeks of Raw, watch a seventh episode, and really have missed nothing.
Oh.
You can catch up on the storylines, catch up on the characters that quickly. It seems like it's such a slow-paced show. And that's their style right now. So,
yep.
But a face we've not seen in a while popped up at Chicago Cubs baseball game saying the seventh inning stretch, take me out to the ball game. And a guy who's looking a lot happier these days, Frank, is Phil Brooks. And it looks like Phil Brooks is going to tie the knot with AJ Lee, his girlfriend there. And any speculation, I think now, Frank, that he's coming back to WWE is probably just speculation at this point.
Yeah, I don't think he's coming back, at least not right now. But I'm not going to rule it out to say that he'll never come back. I think he
never is a long time.
Never. they say never say never in the business. So I'm not going to say the guy isn't never going to come back. He'll come back eventually. Right now, no. He's too happy with AJ. You know, they're planning on weddings and all that stuff. You know, my thing is, let the guy do what he's going to do.
Yep. Well, we heard our weekly shout-out this week from Ravon, and he's got a couple more wrestling questions for us. And so shout-out again to Ravon. We appreciate
Absolutely.
You listening. So as always, we encourage you, if you like the podcast, you enjoy what we're talking about, you know, if you disagree with us, you know, tell a friend, spread the word on social media, Twitter and Facebook. Let everybody know that, you know, you listen to the Girl Work Report and we're back. I'd love to get, reconnected, Frank, with some of the people from the 2004, 2005 hotline days. I remember for years after the hotline died, people would say, when are you going to bring the hotline back? When's the hotline coming back? You know, and it's come back to a certain degree in this format. I like this format because we can do it, say, weekly. We could do bi-weekly, and we were really burning ourselves out doing those almost daily hotline reports. And this way, you know, we do it once a week or twice a week. A lot more things happen during the week, and we can it kind of refreshes your battery to a certain degree.
Yeah, it does, because, you know, there's just too much on right now. You know, so who wants to sit there and watch it all the time? You know what I mean? So it's kind of good to take a break a little bit. And people don't realize, you know, back in the day, I mean, they say, oh, bring the hotline back. Well, at the time, Stephen, I'm going to shoot on this one. At the time when the hotline was out there was a lot of people out there that really didn't appreciate what they had.
Right.
There was a lot of people who would come up and they would, you know, they would literally cuss you out of the voicemail, talking about how, you know, how you sucked and how the hotline sucked and how, you know, you weren't doing this, you weren't doing that. I mean, who wants to seriously put up with that kind of abuse, especially when you're providing a free service? There's a lot of other services out there. There's a lot of other websites out there that do podcasts, but they charge you to listen to them. You know,
right.
And you'll get news, and they'll charge you for that. There is no charging on Gerwig.net. All the content that we do is free to the listener and free to the readers. That's what sets us apart from anybody else out there that's on a podcast, is that it's free. And a lot of reasons why the hotline got, you know, shut down is pretty much because you provide a free service, but, you know, people want to sit up there and disrespect you all the time. How much more? I mean, you're only human. There's only so much you can take. So it became very much not worth doing it anymore. Besides that, listen, we come out here all the time, and we talk about how much TNA sucks, and it was a dead brand, how much WWE sucks, and it just got so repetitive, saying the same thing every single night. So,
yeah, I was thinking about those hotline days. You know, we would do, a 90-minute report. We would do...
Right.
Well, 15, 20, 30 minutes of whatever was the current topics of the day. And then, I mean, most of what we were talking about was what the callers would contribute or ask us questions. That's why it's great to hear from Ravon. I'd love to hear back from some of the hotline people from that era.
Yep.
The Hollywood Heels and what was the guy's name? Montez Cecily, you know, where every show was pretty okay. And, yeah, you know... Sean and Austin, they'd like to chime in. I mean, they for so long, we really weren't doing anything, and people say, you know, bring back the hotline. And I mean, we're back in some form now, and we'd love to interact with you. That's,
yep.
I mean, this
is the reason why it's called the Gerwig Report podcast, because this is as close as it's going to get to the hotline. I mean, you know, we've talked about things about where we want to take this podcast in the future. As far as, you know, more interaction with the fans out there, but that's going to take time. You know,
yeah.
It's going to take time for that to happen. We you know, as a website, Gerwig.net, you know, I'm pretty sure Steve wants, you know, he's been in business with this since 97. Sure, he wants to see it grow. And likewise, I want to see the podcast grow. I want to see our podcast to go as high as it can go.
You know, I could easily be a shill for the business and just say, you know, Frank, TNA is awesome.
Right.
WWE is tremendous. How can you not be watching this week? And that could even, you know, benefit my business more by really putting over WWE and TNA and Ring of Honor and saying everything is super great. And then at the end of the day, though, how does that make me look? So, you know, I could have over the years gotten more favors from people if I would have, you know, had a different tone. And you know what, as we were saying, you know, previous podcast, this is the podcast that tells it like it is.
Yep.
You know, I'm not going to sugarcoat things. I'm going to tell you exactly what I think. And if you like the opinion, that's great. If you don't, there's other podcasts out there too.
Exactly.
But Frank D and I come out here and we tell it like we see it. And doesn't mean you have to agree with everything we say. You know, Frank, I've never found one person in my life that agrees with everything I say. It's just not going to happen. If you agree with 75% of the things we say, that's great.
Yeah.
60%. It means you agree with us more than you don't. That'd be a great reason to tune in and tell a friend and tell a family member, hey, I listened to the Grill Work Report. It's back, and it's a great listen. Definitely, and people like to download it and listen to their cars or stream it on the website. That's great. So we always appreciate. I guess this is a long way of saying we appreciate your feedback. Yep. We'd love to hear from you. We'll plug our Facebook and Twitters later. But let's get into Ravon's question. He has two questions for us, wrestling questions this week for us.
Okay.
Number one, do you think Lex Luger will someday be in the WWE Hall of Fame? And he says, I know a lot of people blame him for Miss Elizabeth's death, but I think he had a successful career, and personally there is some people in the WWE Hall of Fame that should not be within 50 feet of the Hall of Fame. And I know to that we'll both say amen to that. At some point, Frank D., do you see Lex Luger getting in the WWE Hall of Fame?
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, he brings Luger up. It's very surprising that when you talk about home video releases of people's matches, Luger never comes up. I don't know. WWE kind of like ignores Lex Luger a little bit for some reason. I think it all goes back to when Luger jumped from there to the WCW back in '95 on the first Nitro. So I think it all stems back from that. I mean, we've seen Luger on some WWE DVDs. But yeah, man, of course, I think, you know, he'll be there. I don't blame Luger personally for Elizabeth's death. Everybody does what they want to do, you know, and I don't know the circumstances as far as what was going on there, what she was going through. So I can't outright say, oh, well, it's Luger's fault. But to answer the question, yes, I do think Luger will be an Hall of Famer. Absolutely. Yes. The guy's a world champion. The guy's world champion. I mean, you got to give the devil his due. Luger was a mainstay on wrestling television until WWE shut down.
That's an interesting choice of words. You got to give the devil his due.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting. But I agree with Frank. I think at some point he will get into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And we definitely agree with that 50 feet. Wow. Man, there's a lot of people within that doesn't belong 50 feet within the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
A lot of the names we've mentioned before, I don't want to get into the same names over and over. But go back to our previous podcast. Go to Gerwick.net. Check out the audio section. We've talked a lot about the Hall of Fame and guys who definitely don't belong in the Hall of Fame. And the second question is, do you think The Undertaker has wrestled his last match? Or do you think we might still get Sting versus Undertaker next year? I don't know, Frank. The interesting thing is you were just bringing up to me is, I guess officially, Sting has not signed a contract yet. But to me, if there's one more Undertaker match in him, to me it's got to be with Sting.
Yeah. I mean, that's the match that people want to see. That's the match that can still happen. Now, I don't know if they're going to be like, well, you know what? What do we do now? The fact that Sting hasn't even signed a contract kind of bothers me, because I've heard he's had this contract for a little while now, since before Mania, and he still hasn't signed. So I don't know where and when this match is going to happen. I do believe at some point we're going to see it, and I'll be honest with you, I do believe at that point that Sting is going to be the one doing the job.
I would agree. If they ever do the match, I would definitely think they would put Undertaker over. Do I think Undertaker will wrestle again? Boy, that's a tough call. I think it really depends on how he feels. Does he feel like he can perform? Because I think this Undertaker match this year was not at the level that you would expect from an Undertaker. I don't know if that was all Undertaker, if it was Lesnar. But this year's Undertaker-Lesnar match didn't blow me away. And I think he wants to have, you know, deliver one of the best matches on the show. I mean, year after year, we look back at WrestleMania, it's always, who's Undertaker going to wrestle? And that match is going to be a, you know, 4 or 5-star match, if you want to rate it that way. You talked about the Shawn Michaels and the Triple H matches he had, you know, previously. I don't know. I can't really venture an opinion right now, because I really don't, until we really get a read on where Undertaker is physically and mentally at this point. I think he's got to be a lot of disappointment with the streak ending, and now is how do you sell that? I guess you'd sell it from the standpoint of a match we've never seen before. Two legends, all these years, they've never collided, and this year at WrestleMania, the two finally collide. Maybe that's a strategy, and that is a strategy. I guess that would still be probably better than anything they can deliver, Frank. I can't imagine any other matches would still have that type of drawing power as Sting Undertaker for next year's WrestleMania.
No, it wouldn't. And the thing about it, too, is that a lot of people were wondering about the streak. And a lot of people were saying, okay, if there's one guy out there that could probably end a streak, it would have been Sting. You know what I mean? But the thing about it now is that if you put these two guys in a ring now at WrestleMania next year, and who's even, I mean, I don't personally think Taker's wrestled his last match. I think Taker might have maybe one or two more, you know, good years left in him, if he makes it that long. But you put these two guys in the match, and I don't want to be a prick saying it like this, but Sting is old. So,
really?
Well, yeah, he is. So it's like the more time you wait to do something with Sting, the older he gets. So when do you do something with Sting? You know, you have Sting there, but Sting isn't signing the contracts for whatever reason. I mean, you put these two in a ring next year at Mania. Is the match going to be as important as it would have been if the streak hadn't ended? Because if it was a streak match, we pretty much know how the outcome was going to go with that. You know, it's going to be, you know, like I said, it's going to be Taker Taker.
I tell you, they've lost a lot of luster with WrestleMania by ending that streak right now. They really have.
Oh yeah, I'm not. I mean, I'm going to be there next year, but I'm not looking forward to it. No, because every, like you said, every year you would look forward to saying, "Oh my God, who's taking the punt?" And like I said before, people didn't start taking the streak seriously into WrestleMania 25 with Shawn Michaels. I don't give a damn what anybody says. Okay, it's like when Michael Jackson, you know, passed away, and everybody was like, "Oh well, I've always listened to his music, and you know, I got all his albums." No, you don't. You went to Best Buy and got one after he died. It's the same situation. Nobody cared about the streak until Shawn Michaels and Taker had that kick-ass match. And that's when you start taking it seriously. Because I don't remember anybody talking about his match with Batista at 23. I don't remember anybody talking about, you know, the match he had with Edge at 24. Nobody was talking about the streak. And every year, you already knew the outcome. Except this year, I mean, we thought we had it, but we didn't.
Absolutely. And as always, if you want to email us a question, betweentheropes@hotmail.com, and we'll plug our social media a little bit later on this podcast. So if you want to jot it down, or we'll definitely post it at Gerwick.net. If you want to chime in, you want to ask us a question, pick our brains, or if you just want to suggest a topic for a future podcast, we're always open. Frank, Total Divas last week did a 750,000 viewers, which was the lowest rated episode they've had. But at the same time, Frank, good news. Total Divas is going to come back for another season. What's your thoughts on another season of Total Divas?
Well, my thought is that, you know, I only watch one reality show, and that's Legends House on the network. And who cares? You know, who cares about the Total Divas? The show sucks. E! Network sucks. Any network that has that old wrinkly Joan Rivers on it, I ain't going to watch it. So.
I'll say it right now. I've watched about 30 minutes of one episode, and I just can't do it. It's just, it doesn't interest me. I mean, I don't get me wrong. I like looking at beautiful women, but the show just doesn't do anything for me. And, you know, if you like it, that's great. It's going to be back for another season, but it's just nothing for me. I just don't see that. I mean, the wrestling connection is kind of minimal, really. I mean, it's just reality, and of course, reality in TV is non-reality. It's
right.
Just contrived situation. I mean, I watched Hogan Knows Best.
Ugh.
Because I was covering it for the website, and I watched the whole series, and I can tell you, I can't do a show like that ever again. In fact, they did the spinoff with Brooke Hogan's show. I watched one episode, and I thought, okay, I'm done. I can't do this anymore, and I can't do Total Divas. It's just not in me. But again, if you enjoy the show, somebody must like it, because
they do. The female, some of the females like to watch
There is an audience for it.
That's right.
I mean, heck, Frank, their numbers are as strong as TNA's numbers.
Are stronger.
On average, so, yeah.
Somebody's up there watching it. I'm not going to knock it and say nobody's watching. Somebody's watching. But I know it's not me.
I mean, if you just want to watch the pretty girls for an hour, I mean, that's, I don't know, a lot of times they're dressed in the bikinis on that show. I mean, you know, go for it. Knock yourself out. But we got to bring up the dead brand here, Frank, because
do we really?
We can't do a, Let's get into it because I guess the last podcast we actually started with the TNA situation. Not really a lot is new from the last discussion, but we did lose another name off the roster, and we did find out exactly how many wrestlers are under contract. And I guess only a couple of years ago, Frank, TNA had 60 performers under contract. And with the departure of Hernandez, one of the more talented wrestlers they had on the roster, we're down to 33 wrestlers under contract. So that's a lot of Gunners, Rockstar Spuds, and, of course, our new favorite, the Raisin Bram. So, boy, Frank, say goodbye to Hernandez, say goodbye to Kazarian, say goodbye to Saban, AJ Styles, and now Hernandez. And we're down to 33 wrestlers under contract to TNA.
Yeah, that's too bad. It really is. But you know what? Like I said, you can't polish a turd. And you know, TNA is just like WCW in the end. That's how TNA looks to me. It's a dead brand, and it's a just horribly mismanaged. One of the most horribly mismanaged companies I've ever seen. And that's just all they are. Just a dead brand, going nowhere.
Another week, we saw the ratings actually go down, yep. And, you know, Frank, it's May now. It's actually towards the end of May, and we're still no update on the TV situation. We speculate on the last podcast, maybe, you know, Spike just keeps it because it's relatively cheap programming, and as you documented kind of on the last podcast, too, I mean, other than Cops, they don't have a whole lot, so... Huh. Maybe by default, they just say, hey, you know, a 0.8 or a 0.9 is better than what we can get with any other show we put up there. I mean, Spike is really just – I was really surprised when we did the research on Spike and where they really are. I mean, they're not even near the top-rated network. So if they decide to keep TNA for one more year, wouldn't surprise me. And I think there's a lot of people thinking, you know, this – they signed the contract with the talent agency. Maybe the talent agency can secure them a deal. But boy, it's just got to get tougher and tougher to sell. I mean, what are you really selling to a network now? All your biggest names are gone. Your ratings are down. The morale is down. People are still behind in pay. I mean, what do you really sell to a network to say, hey, yeah, you know, keep TNA wrestling or take TNA wrestling to another network? That's got to be a tough sell for that agency.
Yeah, I mean, were they even aware of what they were getting themselves into before they agreed to even represent, you know, TNA?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, if they did their homework. You hope so. They would. You would hope they would if they enter into an agreement like that. But, yeah, 33 wrestlers. Now, as you said before, too, on the last podcast, a lot of the departures from TNA will end up with Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor just did another iPay-per-view. And for the most part, the reports I was getting was a pretty good stream. Not a lot of issues with the stream. Of course, They're going to try to go towards the more traditional pay-per-view telecast, which would be interesting to see if they can pull that off.
Yep.
But it looks like Bad Influence is headed to Ring of Honor. And boy, I was like, all of a sudden, you got AJ and you got, Doc Gallows there, and you got Jay Lethal and you got Briscoes.
You got
like,
TNA, man. You got the whole TNA roster down there at Ring of Honor now. And that's exactly what I said in the last podcast. TNA's lost his Ring of Honor's game. And Ring of Honor has, you know, a lot of momentum right now, and I think that they are essentially becoming, probably going to end up being the number two company. Now, here's the reason why TNA right now sits as number two. TNA is number two by default simply because TNA has Spike TV. They have a Spike TV contract right now for a couple more months until Spike kicks them off the network. Now, that is the only reason why they're number two still is because they have that worldwide national exposure. Ring of Honor doesn't have it, and it's a shame that Ring of Honor doesn't have that exposure right now because they got some little kick-ass stuff going on down there.
Yeah, this agreement with New Japan is benefiting them well. I've seen influx of talent. I mean, they just had Adam Cole, the Ring of Honor champion, defended the championship against Jushin Thunder Liger.
Right.
That'd be a match I didn't see the pay-per-view, but that's a match I'd like to go check out just on its own.
Well, it's very reminiscent to me of what Bischoff was on back in the day with WCW and New Japan. When you had the influx of talent coming to WCW, hey, man, you had some really, really good matches there. I remember they did Starrcade 95, I believe, was, you know, it was WCW versus New Japan. It's
USA versus Japanese wrestlers. So, you know, obviously ROH is doing the exact same stuff that WCW was doing, you know, as far as the talent relations with New Japan. I mean, you know, and TNA could have done stuff like this, but, you know, they're ignorant.
Yeah, I don't currently have Ring of Honor in my area. I know Sinclair's bought a TV station in my area, and in the transitional period yet, I don't believe they are showing Ring of Honor yet. I'm hoping to see it here pretty soon. But, you know, Frank D has pointed out to me, you can go on YouTube and watch some of the previous episodes. And
yep.
Now that there's a YouTube app on my Roku box, Frank, I think I'm going to go back and check out some Ring of Honor wrestling.
I would. I mean, listen, what are you going to do? You go check out Ring of Honor wrestling, or do you want to watch last week's Impact?
Yeah, I think I'll go. Well, heck, I mean, if you want to watch TNA wrestling, you might as well watch Ring of Honor because, as you said, all the stars are going there anyways.
Exactly. Yeah, majority of all their guys. So I mean, hey, it's just like I said, man.
One thing we want to touch upon, and we don't want to get too far into it because we don't know all the details yet, but something is a little bit of alarming. Was Friday night or Saturday? Scott Hall was scheduled to go fly out to California for a convention, make an appearance with his son Cody, and he ended up canceling the appearance. He put on his Twitter that he was canceling due to medical reasons. Supposedly he told the promoter that he couldn't get out of bed, or it was kind of a dark period for him. And I don't want to speculate too much on what's going on with Scott Hall. I was a little disappointed, at least as of this recording, DDP hasn't come out said anything yet, but let's hope, Frank, that Scott Hall doesn't fall down that hill again.
Yeah, I'm hoping that Scott said it was a medical issue, the reason why he wasn't there. I'm kind of hoping that's what it was. I'd hate to see a guy he's come so far. You know, so many people have supported Scott, you know, gave money to help rebuild, you know, the Bionic Bad Guy. You know, I just hope that, you know, whatever the situation is, he fixes it fast. Because he's done too much helping his son get into the business, you know, becoming a WWE Hall of Famer, all that, you know, stuff. And to see it go down the tubes because of some personal demons or whatever the situation may be, you know, that sucks. You know, and then it's kind of like, you know, the old expression that some guys just will never learn. Some guys will never change. But I hope that this time around, you know, I'm proved wrong that this was a one-time episode and it'll never happen again. Hopefully that's what will happen.
I mean, everybody has a bad time, a bad period, could get sick. We don't know. Like I said, we don't want to speculate too much on it, but you just hope that's not a warning sign that maybe, you know, Scott's going to another dark period again. Let's just hope that, he can turn it around. The support team that's around him, he's, of course, his son now is wrestling, and he's trying to support his son breaking into the business. Cody is a big boy. I tell you what, he's a big, 6'6", I think I heard it?
His
measurements. I mean, this is a big boy. So, and he's following his father's footsteps for that size. So hopefully Scott can be a good influence on his son. We know the issues in the past about his career and his life, but hopefully, and I'd love to see Cody, you know, get an opportunity. We talked about David Benoit, and the challenges that he has, but with Cody, you know, 6'6", you know, Vince always likes those big guys, got the name, got a pretty good look, Frank. I would think Cody has a upward future in this business.
Yeah, he does. He really does. He's going to be something one day. And hopefully his dad will continue to help him out and show him the ropes and show him what not to do and show him what to do. And I'm like I said, man, I'm just going to say this right now. I hope Scott gets his stuff together.
And lastly, Frank, I just want to touch on this a little bit, you know, maybe 5 minutes, because we've spent a lot of time covering WWE Network. But, you know, there's a lot of talk right now that they may add $1 to their subscription price, maybe even more than that. We don't know right now. There's been some talk that right now, let me put it this way. They've been in existence now for about 3 months. We saw all the issues with the content. We've seen a lot of issues with the streaming. They made the asinine claim that they're, you know, better than Netflix. WWE's going all in on this network. And to me, Frank, run the network successfully for 1 year, make everything stream correctly, get all the content issues figured out, make all the deals with the music, make all the edits, get rid of all the unnecessary edits that you have to, bring us the classic episodes that we really want to see. We talked about it before, Shotgun Saturday Night, WCW Saturday Night, Nitro, etc. And then when you got all that up and running and everything is successful, works on all the different platforms, then okay, maybe raise my price a little bit. But right now, Frank, I think with this talk of, yeah, we're going to raise the price at a time where they're trying to increase subscriptions, it's just backwards to me. You know, run a successful network and then say, okay, we're giving you what you want, now we're going to charge you a little bit more.
Yeah, well, when you start charging a little bit more, make sure you have, like you just said, all the kinks worked out of it. When we first heard about the network, Steve, in 2011.
Right.
So they could have been working on this thing the whole entire time to make sure that when it launches, there is no type of mistakes or anything, no type of buffering, nothing. And I mean, that's all you see, man. That's all you hear. Until this day, that's the problem with the networks. If you want to raise my thing, listen, $9.99 is a steal, and it's a steal because of the pay-per-views, special events.
Right.
But I don't really care about having to pay a dollar or more as long as you have all your ducks in a row as far as content goes.
Yeah, I can't believe that they launched the network without getting all the kinks worked out, and they're surprised by people complaining that, you know, where is WCW Nitro? Where's
right.
Thunder? Where is WWE Superstars and Wrestling Challenge? I just can't believe, you know, some of the classic 80s cartoons with Hulk Hogan. Where is that content? I think that's, you know, when you talked about WWE Network and they're going to pretty much have the whole volume of the video library, I can't believe that three months into this, they don't have that content there, and they're still working out the bugs. And now, on top of it, you're talking about raising the price. It just seems totally backwards to me that this whole strategy is, as you said, I mean, they launched a graphic in 2012. They were going to launch a network, and here we waited two more years. You think it'd be a pretty smoothly run network? I mean, they're saying they're Netflix, and they're not even the same. They're not even the same ballpark as Netflix right now. And then they're talking about raising the price. I just don't get this at all. This is totally backwards.
Well, it's backwards. Just like, I don't know, a wrestling promoter, you know, years back, thinking that a pay-per-view only wrestling show was going to work every Wednesday night.
That's true too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're going to find out hopefully pretty soon what's going to happen with Mr. Double J there.
Right.
You know, he's making a lot of teases that he's scouting and looking around, and as of right now, we still don't have a lot of details other than you can buy his shirt.
Yeah, I'll pass on that.
Buy a shirt of a company that doesn't really exist yet. And then there's no television, no pay-per-views, no house shows, nothing. So be interesting to see what Double J has for us at some point.
Right.
Because right now, what he's told us hasn't blown me away, especially the TNA comparisons with Hermie Sadler and NASCAR, and not the direction I'd go with that company. But, you know, we want to kind of reserve too much opinion until we find out exactly what they do. I mean, if Toby Keith is behind them, you'd think they'd have some money that they could at least start up a good-looking company. But I think the whole problem with Jarrett, Frank, is where's the talent? Where's the talent he's going to get?
All the talent used to be in TNA. You know, and there is nobody to get now. There is nobody. And that's what Jerry realized. But here's a guy who says that, oh, there's gonna be a new boom period of wrestling. No, it's not, man. Nobody is talking about, you know, they're not talking about it. So there's gonna be no boom period. There is no buzz around Jared's promotion. There's no buzz around TNA, there's no buzz around WWE. There's nothing there. There's nothing. It's like I said, so you have a dead industry, dead concept.
It's too bad, too. Well, lastly, Frank, I don't know. We got a question from Ravon. that was non-wrestling related that we studied a little bit and we talked about it. It was about the DC Sniper,
yeah.
And of course we've done off wrestling topics before, and we've got into a lot of controversial topics, gun control, 9/11, and things of that nature, Oklahoma City bombing, Sandy Hook, etc. And he had some questions specifically about the DC Sniper situation. He says, if you are familiar with the DC Snipers, can you discuss it? A lot of controversy, a lot of conspiracies out there. He says, I have two questions. My first question is, do you think if John Allen Muhammad would have gotten back his kids from his ex-wife Mildred after killing her, do you think he would have still used Lee Boyd Malvo services, or do you think he would have killed Malvo since Malvo claimed that Muhammad brainwashed him? That's his first question.
Well, my thing is this. Malvo probably was brainwashed. Malvo was a youngster in the situation. Reading about Muhammad, John Muhammad, the guy was crazy. He was definitely radical Islamist. Part of the Nation of Islam and all that. He was out there on some stuff. He was very out there. He was a very dangerous guy, as it would come to be. And I think, and I believe that these incidents happen. I mean, here on the podcast, see, we brought up 9/11, as you know, as you said, and what people don't realize about the DC sniper shootings is that this stuff happened right after 9/11 and after the anthrax attacks is when the DC sniper shooting started.
Right.
I don't know. It's just one of those things. I mean, the guy was going through a divorce. He kills his wife, ex-wife, and then, everything that I've investigated about the situation, he probably would have killed him anyway. He probably would have killed him anyways. Yeah.
And then the second question is, do you think Lee Malvo was sexually abused by Muhammad, or do you think he is trying to start a new trial and get sympathy? Because I don't know if people really remember this situation. There was a string of shootings in the D.C. area.
Mm-hmm.
They basically would hide in their vehicle,
right.
Shoot somebody, and then the vehicle would just drive away. And there was something like 10 to 15 shootings.
Yeah,
and it would just pop up. There would be another isolated shooting, and it was a DC sniper, and this went on for a while, and they finally caught him, and they executed the mastermind, but the younger boy is I believe he's sentenced to life in prison.
Yeah,
but he would like to have a new trial. Obviously, he was very young. When I see a situation like this, Frank, they have perpetrated things to go after your guns. I mean, the Sandy Hook situation my gosh, look at that Sandy Hook situation where they have demolished the school. The contractors that were brought in were told they had to sign confidentially clauses so they couldn't talk about what they saw on the scene. The killer had, a 99% kill rate, which is, better than a Navy SEAL. And they use this kind of stuff to go after our freedoms and our liberties. And it wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, if you want to throw a real controversial topic into the mix or a real conspiracy, wouldn't surprise me at all if these guys were under mind control. And they were told to do this, or they were manipulated to do this so that they could blame, Frank, we got to get rid of the guns because the guns are killing everybody. And I'm not saying that's exactly what happened here. We know the Unabomber was under mind control.
Right.
Okay, they can brainwash you into doing almost anything. Look at the shooter in Aurora, Colorado,
right.
The Batman shooter. He was obviously under mind control. So it wouldn't surprise me if this was the situation here. And I haven't done as much research on this topic as I have done, looking into 9/11 and some of the other controversies. But this is something that the government would do. They would penetrate. Pull off so that they can blame gun rights, the Second Amendment. I mean, this is a government that does Fast and Furious. They ship guns to Mexican drug lords and blame the Second Amendment so they can take our freedoms away. So anything is possible. Do I think he sexually assaulted this young boy? Wouldn't surprise me. I think that's, gosh, there's a lot of pedophilia in the government. So
yeah.
if it's government related, it wouldn't surprise me at all there was pedophilia going
nothing,
on.
Nothing surprised me on that. I mean, you know, we have all these things happening that are you know, they call them false flags, and they're just basically to get your attention off of what it's like. Okay, we have a situation going on with, you know, the Ukraine and Vladimir, you know, Putin and Russia and all this stuff, and people are saying, oh, what are we going to do about that? Well, then we had a false flag in, you know, Nigeria where 100 females were kidnapped. And then everybody starts talking about that. You kind of got your mind off what's going on over there in the Ukraine and Russia with Russia. Stuff like that.
How have we let this administration off the hook for Fast and Furious? How we let them off the hook for the Benghazi situation? When men have died? It's alarming. And, you know, that's what we have with when people don't pay attention. It's like, watch this hand, Frank, and this hand's doing something else. And that's... I mean, that's the situation we have. We wanted to acknowledge this question because, you know, as we've done in previous podcasts, we've gotten into some non-related wrestling topics. And if there's something you want us to look into, Frank, we're the podcast that tells it like it is.
Exactly.
So
we're not afraid to go there.
And we're not afraid to tell it like it is. And we're not afraid to look into things and question things because, I don't know, it should be your spirit to question everything anymore. I mean... You watch ABC or CBS or Fox or CNBC, and I mean, just watch it and you think you're being told the truth on this situation? I think you're being told the truth on global warming, and it's just ridiculous. I mean, it's like been the coldest period we've had in years, and they're still pushing global warming nonsense. So they can shut down coal power plants, which will make your power prices go through the roof. But it's okay for GE, who owns NBC, because they'll make more money because they're exempted from the regulations on coal. I mean, duh. You know? What did Jesse Ventura always say? Follow the money?
Exactly.
Follow the money, and you'll find out exactly what's going on.
Yep.
So.
And you'll find out a lot of stuff. And the stuff that you're going to find out is downright scary.
It is.
It's downright scary. It's stuff that you're going to find out that you would never think that the government would actually do. But you don't realize the people who are running the situation ain't the government. It's the big bank.
That's the whole thing, Frank. When I went through high school, they didn't tell me the Federal Reserve was not part of the government.
Yeah.
You think the Federal Reserve is a central bank that issues the currency, right? It's private banks that issue the money that loan it at interest to us. So every time they create a dollar, we owe that dollar back plus interest. We're financial slaves. And people don't understand it, so they don't get outraged by it. I think it was Henry Ford that said in the 30s, if people understood the banking system, there'd be an outrage. But they don't understand the banking system. So the bankers continue to print money and steal it from us, and they can bail themselves out and create millions out of thin air, and we the suckers, you know, have these people that say, hey, well, I want $15 an hour to work at McDonald's. And that's just, I mean, that's the world we live in today. So there's some real world talk there, Frank, telling it like it is. So, but again, if there's any topics you want us to discuss, it's I mean, we'll talk about it. You know, we'll do our research. We'll do the best, give you the best opinions we can on it. So,
Yep. As
always, you can contact us. We're at the Gerwick Report on Twitter, twitter.com/Gerwick Report. I'm Gerwick on Twitter. Frank D is Real Frank D-E-E, correct?
Yep, Real Frank D-E-E at twitter.com. You can send me a tweet. You can follow me on there. I mean, I don't really be on there as much as I should be on there, but hey, man, listen, what am I going to tweet about? You know, oh, I just, you know, went to Taco Bell right now. Oh, I'm sitting back.
You got a bean burrito.
Exactly. I'm sitting back. Hey, I'm sitting back watching Andy Griffith right now. You know, I don't know.
Well, you could talk about exciting wrestling. Oh, wait a minute, I guess you can't do that.
No, I can't do that.
But follow Frank and pick Frank's brain on the WWE Network. He's the guy to talk to about it.
Exactly. Pick my brain on that. I'd love to. I can talk all day about the network.
Absolutely. And if you want to hear us talk more about the network, have any questions about it, content issues, or let us know how you're doing with the network. If you're one of those guys that did the 6 months originally, are you going to renew? Are you automatically renewing in August? Because I think that's going to be an interesting period, Frank, because you may see some people say after 6 months, hey, this hasn't lived up to my expectations. I think I'll spend my money somewhere else.
Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what some people will say. I haven't made my mind up yet if I'm going to do it now. I mean, but you know what? The thing is that you cannot beat the $9.99 price tag. For now.
No, no.
Can't beat that price tag. And when, you know, when you...
Well, I tell you what, though. You can't beat the price tag, but when I'm on my Roku box and I'm trying to find something to watch and it's not there, then I get a little upset.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that should be worked out by now.
Yeah. Well, it should have been worked out a long time ago. Because, like
I mean, $10 or not, it's not there. It's not. I can't watch it. I got to go on my the web to watch it.
Right.
Which shouldn't be. It should be the same on all the platforms.
Very, very true.
So $9.99 is a great price for the content, but again, there's a lot of issues that still need to be worked out for that price. So
I kind of like to know where is my cell 5-5 DDP? You know, why is that missing? You know, why is, you know, Jeff Jarrett the chosen one? Why is that double? Only person who knows this won't do a damn interview for free. That's Jimmy Hart.
That's right. Come on, Jimmy.
Jimmy Hart is the one who created most of that music, so it's kind of like, you know, you want to hear what he has to say. I mean, I think you know, the listeners of the podcast, and you go out there and bug Jimmy Hart.
Yeah, tweet Jimmy that you want to hear him on the Gerwerk Report, and he can address all these issues.
Exactly. Come on, Jimmy. Stop being a coward. And come on and face the music, man. I mean, hey, listen, my thing is this, dude. I have to look at you every week without a shirt on Legends Act. The least you could do is just come up here and do the damn show.
Yeah. So, yeah, go on Jimmy Hart's Twitter page and tell him to do the Gerwerk Report. Who knows? Maybe he'll come on our show. Never know. Stranger things have happened.
Absolutely.
As always, you can find me on Facebook, Steve Gerwerk, and also like our fan page at gerwerk.net. We do have an app. I know we don't talk about that a lot, but you can go on. I know we have some brand new cell phones that we've been playing with, and it works. The app works pretty good on your cell phone, right, Frank?
It actually does. Yeah. I mean, I stream the podcast. I check the news. I do everything that I can on the app that I can do on the web. So it works out pretty excellent. I highly recommend people out there getting the app. I mean, it's the thing that, I mean, if you want to stream the podcast, you can stream our podcast, the Body Slam podcast. You can stream pretty much any audio content that's on the website is on the app. So it's pretty much easy way to go. So I recommend getting it.
That's true. If you want to check out the old interviews and podcasts from the audio library, you can just go get the app and you can find all the audio right there. Hours and hours, hundreds of hours of great content there. So definitely check out the app. Check out Gerwerk.net for your Monday Night Raw coverage as usual. And we'll see you on the next edition of the Gerwerk Report. Always a blast, Frank.
Absolutely, man. And you guys out there, take care. Be safe.